A Shishkin Productions podcast.
His first feature film that he directed, he was also the editor and cinematographer on.
Oh, wow.
It does solid on Rotten Tomatoes, 81%
tomato meter. Hey, what's up, Sizzlers? Welcome to another episode of the Sizzle Reel podcast.
Yep, we're still doing this
thing. We're still trying.
Yeah.
This is, what, week four of trying to use this camera setup? We were just talking about how we became the very thing we hated.
Yeah, yeah. We're doing all this extra work for a podcast that is listened to by five of our friends and Nancy, maybe.
And it doesn't even look like we did extra work. Like, it still looks pretty shitty.
It looks pretty awful. It's, you know, we just don't have the space to make it look nice and cinematic.
Yeah.
You know,
we are using a cinnamon lens today, though.
Yeah, it is a cinnamon lens. It's very spicy.
Yeah, it's Neil Young's favorite. Chris, before we get started, what can the people do to find us?
You know, you can follow us at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter.
Are we rolling? Okay, good.
Yes, we're rolling. Tally lights.
Tally lights.
We're at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We're also Shishkin Productions on TikTok, I think.
Something like that.
We have an email. It's sizzlereelgang@gmail.com.
It's good. You know what?
What's up?
I'll add this to the rundown. We have an announcement to make regarding that email.
Sure. So send us an email. No one does that anymore. You know, it's send us snail mail. I don't care. 55 Meadow Street, 105. Hit us
up. I would
up.
Love if someone sent us an actual letter. Right? That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be lit. We have a cold line, we think, but we're not sure. So we'll get into this shortly, but...
I don't even think we need to say the number this time because we don't know if it's even it anymore.
Yeah, the Sizzle Reel cold line is in flux. It may or may not come back. We don't know yet.
I wanted to make a comeback, but...
We learned we're paying $10 a month for it. We thought it was free.
Let's use that to be like what you've been up to. Let's get into it. What have you been up to? I wrote, we killed the cold line on accident.
Yeah, so last week... I didn't really have anything to do, and Alexi wanted me to watch the Tree Fort doc, and I didn't really want to do that on a Friday afternoon. So,
well, to be fair, it wasn't even like ready to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, and
still isn't.
So I asked Amy if I could help her with anything, and she said, "Yeah, I have." We were trying to get together a list of all our subscriptions for a potential
business deal.
Exactly. So I went through and, you know, went through the bank statements.
I basically audited us. It was Chris's audit.
Sure. And I found out that we had been paying like $140 a month
for the cold line.
Well, it was for
what were we thinking?
It was for the cold line and for like five additional numbers. Because apparently with our G Suite subscription, we have up to 10 accounts, right? But what we didn't realize is every time we made a new email address, it automatically added that email address to our Google Voice account. So our Google Voice account, it's like $40 a month plus $10 per active
user.
Exactly.
And every email has an active line that comes with it by default.
Yep.
So I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I guess it just doesn't seem like a big deal. And you add it all up and you're like, holy shit, we're paying thousands of dollars a year for a fucking cold line.
Right. We spent at least $600 a year the last couple of years on phone numbers that basically don't exist. You know, like nobody uses them and we didn't realize we were paying for them. So we're like, all right, well, let's deactivate all the ones that aren't being used. So it's just you, me, and Amy.
Right.
So we did that, and then we realized...
A few days later.
Yes, that one of the lines we canceled was the Sizzle Reel cold line.
We disconnected the cold line.
So I tried to reconnect it today, but I haven't been able to figure out if it's actually reconnected. It says it takes up to 24 hours to go into effect, and also I couldn't find...
Did you try to reconnect the same number or no?
Well, that's the thing is I reconnected the email address that we think it's associated with, but I couldn't figure out how to look at the actual number.
Yeah, once it gets reconnected, I think then you can go in and pick the number because
gotcha.
It gives you can pick the number from like a list or something. So hopefully it's 3-3-2-3-3-3-40-3-61
hopefully.
Still. Otherwise, we'll have, 120 episodes or, because I don't know, maybe 100 episodes all giving the wrong number out.
Well, it's going to be hilarious if in, you know, like a year or so, someone calls a Sizzle Reel cold line and it's been reconnected, but to some rando.
Oh, to some other person.
Yeah. So someone picks up and the caller is like, oh shit, I thought they said that it was a cold line. Oh, I thought, man, it goes straight to voicemail.
Hi. I'm calling to talk about Nancy. Like, I don't know, like, what's some dumb shit? I don't even know, we talk about dumb shit all the time. So the cold line's dead.
Yeah, we'll see if it gets revived. Maybe the body will be exhumed.
It'll be like Christ. It'll rise again. Actually, basically it is.
You think so?
3 days later, the cold line is rising again.
It has been about 3 days, yeah.
Pretty fucking cool. Okay, here's what I wanted to tell you, Chris. This was the big surprise, the big reveal about our email address. I don't know if you guys can hear this, but someone's up there banging around.
Yeah, big empty metal container.
And we're not talking about Chris's head.
Hey, yeah.
We made Tree Fort. We're gonna be there. We're gonna be there. It's happening.
Sizzle Reel Live 2.0 is coming to Boise, Idaho.
That's right.
The last weekend of March.
We've
can't
been
wait
announced.
To see you there.
Thursday, March 23rd at 5 p.m.
Ooh,
we will be performing.
We're getting the drive time spot.
I asked for it and I didn't ask for it. I said they said, do you want to do Saturday at 2? And I said no. So we're doing Thursday. I said, can you do like Thursday or Friday be better? Because I think I don't know. I mean, I think we're going to be screening the doc there. I realized I didn't submit anything to film for it.
Oh,
so
I'm sure there's no way that they won't make that work. Like, yeah. The whole point is for it to be there. But part of the problem is
I probably should have communicated it.
The issue is it's not done. So you kind of don't want to communicate it yet.
I haven't been bringing any attention to it. I've purposely been not communicating with anyone over there.
Exactly.
And sending Amy to do my dirty work, because I'm like, as soon as they realize that I'm talking to them, they'll be like, oh yeah, about that documentary you shot 10 months ago. Where is that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, well, you see,
it takes a lot of time.
It's not done yet is where it is.
Well, actually, as we speak, we have a couple people.
Bill Waters, engineer Will.
Yep. And
a former guest of the show, Ian Dwight.
Yep. So
editor extraordinaire. He worked on some Harry and Meghan episodic series.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if it's the one that's like big right now,
the Netflix
whatever.
One.
I
heard about it for the
know.
First time last night. I'm not
know.
Interested in that kind of stuff, but he's a documentary editor, so we're having him and, you know, the sound guy from it watch
audit,
it back.
Audit it.
Yeah, they're auditing it.
Everything's getting audited.
It needs
Holy
to happen.
Shit.
It's a new year. You have to take a look at what's been going on in your life.
The people upstairs are just banging around today.
Yeah.
I don't know what is going
Terrible
on.
Terrible timing, but hey, that's how it goes.
I don't think it's going to get picked up, but it just kind of...
I think that might get picked
might
up.
Get picked up.
But it's fine.
Look, the
We're
point
professionals.
Is, I'm glad that they're looking at it, because I've looked at this thing so many fucking times that I rewatched Titanic last night.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm going to be on the Feminine Features podcast. Shameless plug. Check it out. It's, what's it called? Synergy.
Do you want to give us a quick little preview, a little teaser?
A teaser of what I'm going to say?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I wrote down a lot of things. I've decided I'm just going to speak when spoken to. I'm going to do events.
You're going
to
be a great guest.
Well, the thing is their show is a little bit more like less unhinged than ours.
Oh, wow.
Where, like,
it's
not about interrupting. It's about like discussing,
okay.
Which I'm just like, let's do both. But, yeah, let me look at my drafts. I have it saved as an email draft. It's called Titanic Notes. I'll give you a quick, I'll just read them to you. Whose hand is that? Old lady nominated for Oscar, Titanic, which is my mix of Titan and Titanic.
Sure.
Where they're like having, it's like body horror, but on a boat. Let's see. Chris's first boobies. embarrassing that old lady is so attached to one memory.
Yeah.
How did the paper not disintegrate? "You're distracting me, go away," as she's about to jump, Jack mansplaining ice fishing to her. So I think I'm doing the show wrong. I can tell you that.
I'm so interested to see how that goes, because something tells me that's not how they would typically approach a movie.
I wrote, the captain is the weak link and Cal is obviously a libertarian.
Okay.
Because he said a real man makes his own luck. And it's like, you're a rich guy saying he makes his own luck.
Right.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
But born, yeah, whatever.
Born on third base, thinks he hit a home run.
Elon Musk. Cal is the Elon Musk of the Titanic.
Oh, wow.
Le Titanic. Yeah. So I'm going to be on that. But that's why I rewatched Titanic. And it made me think, I was watching the credits. So many fucking people worked on that shit.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, this is my second time ever seeing this movie. And I have maybe... There's a handful of movies in my life I've seen two or more times.
Really?
I would say it's under 15.
Hmm.
I like legitimately just don't watch movies. Cool Runnings, Air Bud.
Wasn't Cool Runnings your first DVD?
Yeah. Inspector Gadget, the movie with Matthew Broderick.
Really?
Yeah.
I was Inspector Gadget for Halloween and I did not watch that movie. I saw it in theaters, I think, as a child.
The Slacker by Rick Linklater.
Sure.
Whatever. Titanic.
That's a tough one to watch multiple times.
Titanic. But what, Slacker?
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's a great movie.
Every
time I start it, I can't stop.
Nothing happens.
Everything happens, though. That's the point, dude.
That's a one-time watch for me.
Yeah, good. We don't want you. We don't want you watching it.
Okay.
Okay, so my point was this. I watched it twice, and I was like, holy shit, this thing is almost 3.5 hours long.
Sure.
And I was like, James Cameron must have seen this shit like 100 times. Because I'm working on the tree fort, Doc. It's an hour and like 20, an hour 30. And I can already confidently say there's clips in there that I have seen 100 times.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, I can't believe that this motherfucker watched Titanic so many times. Is just kind of what I was thinking.
Well, I mean, hey.
And he probably wanted to make it longer.
I'm kind of curious, yeah, if the Avatar cut was 9 hours, if that was true or not. How many times did he watch those 9 hours?
That's what I'm saying. He loves little blue monkeys, little blue space monkeys or whatever they are. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new one. The first one, it's fine. Visually stunning, but no. Like the story is Fern Gully.
It's
like,
mid.
It's super mid. Yeah, it's like the most basic popcorn movie there is. I still enjoyed it. Granted, I think I was influenced at the time.
Are you gonna go watch Titanic in theaters in the re-release?
They're doing a re-release.
It's gonna be an hour longer.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they're adding an hour and they're putting what's his face? Little Nas X is gonna be in it.
Oh, okay. That's dope. That's dope. All right.
Last thing I had on this was Calling All Casuals.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go ahead and announce it and we'll see. Like, it's going to be a lot of work, but Amy and I are going to try to launch a soccer podcast that's geared towards casual soccer fans. Maybe people who watched the World Cup for the first time this past World Cup.
Sure.
And they are trying to, you know, kind of dip their toe.
Yeah.
Dip their toe into the pool. The soccer pool. That is.
The soccer pool.
Soccer pool is nice and warm. Come on in. Don't go near Chris. It's extra warm over there.
I'm barely in the soccer pool.
Chris pissed in the soccer pool.
I'm just sitting on the side of the pool with my ankles in. It's exciting though. You know, you were saying that you talked to Street FC about it, right?
Talked to Street FC about it. I'll just go ahead and be honest. My goal is to try to get them to like sponsor it or something.
That'd be pretty lit,
buy it or whatever. The guy who I talked to seemed like. Everyone I've talked to about it who's involved in soccer has kind of said like there is a market for it.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. There's an angle there.
Oh. Well, I mean, if there is a market for it, there's a market for it.
So how's that going to work? Is it going to be you and Amy on every episode and then you have a guest or like you just talk about
guests.
The week?
I don't think we do guests.
Okay.
I don't know. I've been thinking about
that. Booking is difficult.
I think maybe every so often we have a guest on.
Yeah.
But here's what I wrote for the run of show. I don't know if I have told you about this, but basically it would be like an intro, social plugs, predictions from the last week of MLS, and we keep score, right? We keep score on how our predictions went. Then we talk about any quick MLS news or any tea, any rumors, whatever. Then the segments are big question, a history segment, and a thing called Pop 11 that I've made up.
So that's what you guys were talking about last week?
Yeah.
I thought maybe that was a pitch for MLS.
No, so the way big question works is Amy brings a question to the table about anything soccer related,
yeah,
and I kind of do my best to like answer it. History segment is where I research, like, obviously it's going to be named differently.
Yeah.
I research a weird historical soccer thing.
History segment is kind of funny.
Maybe keep it that way.
It's like that, what's the brand that's like not a brand?
Yeah. This simulated chicken?
No. It's like
Blank Street Coffee.
It's like
that's
eggs
kind of a big thing.
Or
you know,
milk.
And look, so I'll do history segment where I do the weird thing and then MLS predictions. At the end of the show, but Pop 11 is going to happen between the MLS predictions. Pop 11, right? It's
now
we create a starting 11 based around a pop culture / fun theme, and I wrote down a shitload of these. So it's like, you know, it could be like worst tattoos or players with the craziest houses or players who are drunks or thick legends like the fattest players to ever play, like stuff like that. So it could be pretty fun.
So is it going to be mostly MLS focused or is it going to be international?
So I think for the news and shit and the predictions, that's all going to be MLS unless there's like a giant tournament happening or something.
Sure. Isn't the Club World Cup happening next
year?
Yeah,
but no one cares about that shit. Okay. That's all. That's one of those things where it's like just...
I read the Sounders could end up playing Real Madrid.
Yeah. No, they keep trying to make it happen. It's not a real thing, in my opinion. But yeah, so hopefully that goes well. I don't know. We'll see. Look, we already did a really long first half on accident.
Did we?
Sort of. Not really long, but we're just getting
enough
to this. Yeah, long enough. But I want to talk about this thing I'm putting here. FTC non-compete. Basically... The Federal Trade Commission is proposing a rule to ban non-competes. How fucking sick is that?
That would be amazing.
Yeah, dude. I was like, this is so lit. Like, we have to talk about this on Sizzle.
So
and
much
then
sense.
I went ahead and copy and pasted the link and hit record, so we didn't even have time to read.
I didn't even know this was a thing. Yeah, I'm learning about it live.
It is going to be cool. And, you know, if it goes through, that'll be amazing. Because I feel like a non-compete is like a pretty big red flag. From a company, like,
yeah, it keeps you locked in.
I think non-competes are like very interesting in the sense of you know, I see a place for them. Like, for example, if you hire a freelancer, you can have them, I think it's fine to have them sign a non-compete saying like you're not going to poach the client, like,
yeah,
you're not going to go work with this exact client outside of this our relationship.
Sure.
Or whatever. But a lot of the non-competes are so far reaching, I think, that they're like, hey, you know, you can no longer, if you freelance with us, you can't edit videos for any other thing in the tech space or something like that. And you're like, what
makes
the hell?
Like, zero sense.
I don't know. I mean,
it's like, depending on what your specialty is, there could only be a couple companies that you can feasibly work for. So yeah. once you've signed that non-compete, you basically, if you leave, you legally can't work anywhere depending on what you do.
Yeah. I mean, non-competes are just another thing that helps like keep this country in this economy in a monopolistic system.
Oh, absolutely.
Like it's basically, it monopolizes and, like, it monopolizes the workers' kind of freedom. Like, you'd lose all your freedom. You're not allowed to, like, go create competition.
Absolutely, which it's, like, the complete opposite of what the free market is supposed to be. And even on FTC.gov, they say that if this goes through, it could increase wages by nearly $300 billion per year for working Americans. That's incredible. And it also says expand career opportunities for about 30 million Americans. That's 10% of the population, not even the working population. Yeah. Like, that's pretty incredible.
It is kind of just bizarre that a clause that has that in the name, like non-compete, is allowed in a system that's supposedly built around competition.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get some busting going on though.
Yeah, we'll see it. I'm trying to tell the government, bust down Tatiana, bust down Joe Biden. Let me see you bust down these fucking monopolies.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. I don't know exactly how this needs to go through. I don't know if it's.
Yeah, this is probably going to develop over the next few months. And this says the comment period is open through March 10th, 2023. So we'll talk about this at some other point, I'm sure. Maybe one of these weeks we should talk about, like, because I wrote down red flags, because to me the idea is, like, I think it'd be fun to talk about, like, what red flags, big red flags from companies, like, to look out for, like, what to us are, when you see this in a deal, you're like, no, like, yeah, I'm not working with you. Or like when someone tries to hire you to edit something and they say like a certain phrase, you're like, red flag.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll talk about that next week or something.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that one will be good to actually research, not just sit here and bullshit.
Yeah, I don't have anything off the top of my head, to be honest, on that. But, you know, I've never been offered anything like that, bro.
Yeah, Chris, I'm going to make you sign a non-compete now that I've seen the light. I'm going to make you sign a non-compete for the podcast so you can't start another Sizzle Reel podcast at all.
I would sign that because I have no intentions to.
If you and I each formed our own podcast and had a duel, who do you think would win?
You would win.
Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate like that. Come on.
It's kind of a tease for the next segment.
Wow. I guess it is.
You might lose.
I'm dueling.
You might lose.
I'm definitely going to lose. That's fine with me.
You know, I honestly misread the clock a little bit and I didn't do my math right. So we actually haven't had that long of a segment. Yeah. I think we're right about at 20 minutes.
Okay. I think that's reasonable. Yeah. Do you want to try to extend it a little bit further?
Not really. I think we should just go and hit the break and then come back with Chris versus.
Okay.
Cause Chris versus, you know, usually can kind of go on.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
Welcome back, Sizzlers.
Welcome back, Sizzlers.
Okay, cool. So we have, I wouldn't call it a special segment, but it's a tried and true segment.
I'd call it a special segment. It's cool.
Every segment is special. Every episode is special.
You remember why we're doing this one, right?
No.
Oh, man. It's because when we were out on Christmas, me, you, and Lisa were talking about Sizzle Reel for some reason and about Chris versus. It's like, who do you want to see him versus next? And she said, Chris Nolan.
Okay.
So I think we can make that happen.
Chris versus Chris.
I just gave away the segment. Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
Really did.
Why don't you say what you wanted to say?
Say what you need to say, bro.
Is that special?
Yeah, I was just, you know, trying to get to it, trying to fill time.
My bad.
And, we're doing Chris versus, and today I'm going up against Christopher Nolan.
Tell me a little bit about Chris Nolan. I don't know much about, I know he made, Looper or some shit like that, or was that not him?
I don't think that
Memento.
Was him.
Memento.
Yes, Memento. So, the films that I've seen by him, I've seen Memento, I've seen the Dark Knight trilogy, and I've seen Inception. Oh, and I've seen Interstellar. You know, I think the Dark Knight is the best superhero movie ever
of
made.
All time,
in my opinion, yeah.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
That's not a superhero movie.
I guess it depends how you define superhero.
Robert Zemeckis directed that.
There you go.
In between Back to the Future.
Like, how would you define a superhero movie? I feel like Space Jam is a superhero movie. Michael Jordan is a superhero in it. He saves the Looney Tunes.
I think for me, it has to be like a classic comic book character or like a new character that has been introduced into that universe.
So there's a monopoly on it. So unless you're like Marvel or DC, you can't make a superhero movie.
I don't,
because that's some bullshit. Like, what if
if you're
like,
not Marvel or DC, you can't afford to.
Was Quail Man a superhero?
Quail Man is a superhero.
I rest my case.
Yeah, but
I rest my case.
Okay, I mean, I've already lost my first Chris versus in this segment.
In the case of Eastman v. Funny.
I thought The Dark Knight was
that's
incredible.
That's Doug Funny, by the way. I'm not saying Chris isn't funny.
Douglas. Wow, that's rude.
Douglas Yancey.
Yancey, yeah. Damn. That's actually, I dated a girl with the middle name Yancey.
Wow. Is that what you were like on the fence and then you found out her middle name was the same as your favorite cartoon character? You're like, all right, I'm in.
I rewatched Through Doug during COVID and the Nickelodeon ones still hold up and the Disney ones are still trash.
Did not even know that Disney made them.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised. It's like a Nickelodeon type show. Class Geek Supo type show.
Yeah, sure.
Was it Class Geek Supo?
I don't think so. No. I think they just did Rugrats and All Real Monsters, to
Class
my knowledge.
Class Geek Supo type beat. Yes, you're battling Chris Nolan.
Yeah. So, yeah. And, Inception was a really fun movie. It was like he really likes the messing with time.
He's a time guy.
Yeah. Memento, I think I saw possibly for a film class in college, and that was sick. It's been 13, 14 years since I saw it, but it was definitely very, you know, just seeing it and watching it develop was a lot of fun. Interstellar, That was also a fun movie. I don't think it's like amazing. To me, that's also kind of like a popcorn movie. I know it won some awards, but
I mean, but he always does that. He always makes like thrillers, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like I guess like, yes, they like make you think, but I don't see him as a director who doesn't do like all his movies. This is going to sound fucked up, but I feel like all his movies are popcorn movies. Like,
yeah, I guess
they
so.
Have like an element of like, whoa to them, but it's
elevated.
Very surface level.
They're elevated. I think they're a little bit better than the standard popcorn movie.
Yeah, true.
Like, you know, I don't think I've seen anything by him that I haven't enjoyed.
He's like the kind of dude who, when you see his movie can be shown in a film class, but also like can be shown just on TV in the middle of the day on Saturday.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I mean? Like Are We There Yet isn't going to get shown in a film class, but I'd rather watch Are We There Yet than like Seven Samurai. Come for me, internet, come for me. That's fucked up.
Whatever. I'm not a film buff like that.
Kevin would one of our listeners, Kevin, the one and only listener,
basically
Kevin, would probably fucking have my head for that samurai style.
Yeah, I mean,
he feels so dishonored he would harikiri himself.
He's at home watching Seventh Seal right now.
Is that what it's called? Seventh Seal?
No,
Seventh Samurai.
That's a different
thing. I didn't go to film school. I don't know these things.
I didn't go to film school.
Is the Seventh Samurai a thing?
Yeah, sure.
Isn't it a Kurosawa? Is that who? Yeah. Or am I tripping?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woo.
Whew. Yeah, I was making a different reference.
You're making a Bergman reference, right?
Sure.
See, I don't know these things. All right, let's get into it. Round one, Chris versus Chris. Christopher Nolan. Oh, let me just give it. Don't look over here because that's where I'm keeping score. 10 screenwriting.
The new setup has messed up everything. I can't even look at you without you being all mad.
You look that way. No, you can look over here. Just try not to read the score.
I wasn't reading, bro.
Yeah, the YouTube channel is called Outstanding Screenplays.
Yeah.
Very often when they post a video, the aggregator website No Film School will write an article about it.
And then the aggregator
podcast will turn it into a podcast. All right. So Chris Nolan, first screenwriting tip, do something you believe in rather than what other people want.
This is already shaping up like
sounds
all
like
the
a
others.
Solid fucking tip. Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think I've given this exact take before in one of
you've
the Chris
said
verses.
It before?
I think someone else, a different director, has said this, and the take I'm about to give is what I've said before.
Oh, I see.
But it's like, yes, what if you're an artist, you're making art. The whole point is to do it for yourself, is it not? Like,
yeah.
Otherwise, is it really art?
It's an egotistical exercise.
Absolutely. I mean, I just don't understand why you would even want to take on a task like that if you're not doing it for yourself. Like, it's not like he needs the money at this point. Like, he's trying to tell stories that he cares about, and he wants to do it in a unique way.
Now, you know what's funny is back in the day, you know Connor. We have a friend, Connor.
Sure.
He's a musician. And he's just a starving artist type, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He never plans to ever sell out. He like actively like hinders himself from making money from art.
Yeah, that's his whole vibe.
But I remember back in the day when we were kids, we were talking about like making stuff, and we were like, man, like, you know, the most fun act in life is just creating things.
Sure.
And then we were both like, damn, that sounds so like egotistical and weird to be like, I love creating. And now like literally content creator is like, it's a job. It's like
it's
a job that people go around saying, I'm a creator. It's like, that is fucking weird. It's just weird.
It is. So, I mean, and content creation is difficult, like except for the sizzle reel. That's pretty easy.
Yeah. I don't think content creation is difficult.
I think
you just have to do it. I'm like the Phil Knight of content. Just do it.
Yeah, your concept
shoot
idea though is just like you have all these ideas all the time. For a lot of people, it's, you know, it takes research and dedication and work.
Yeah, but I mean, just do it. Just do whatever you want. You don't have to research it.
You're creating
look where
a documentary. How is that going for you?
Not well.
It's difficult.
It's very difficult.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, well, like you can creating content. Yes, that's easy. Creating good content that you care about and you think others will also care about, that's difficult.
Okay, final thoughts on doing something you believe in rather than what other people want?
I mean, unless you're like a YouTuber, then you should do what other people want, because That's how you get the clicks, right?
I like that. Okay, so in round two, I'm not going to tell you. At the end, of course, I tell you how this went, but I can see you're already looking at my paper.
I'm not. This is in the way, so relax.
Number two, figure out what is interesting to you and present it in a way that will be interesting to the audience. kind of goes against what he just said in a way.
That's what I just said. You know, you want to create something that you care about and that you think others will care about. I mean, I guess what he's saying is get the idea of the story that you want to tell, and then maybe you don't have to tell it exactly how you want. You know, maybe there's a little bit of leeway there where you can tell your story, but in a way that is better for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, that's kind of the point as well. Like, yes, the point is to do something that you want, but on this scale, the point is also to make money. Like, you're not going to keep getting these films made if they keep losing money, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think he's done a good job of that. Like we said, there a lot of them are popcorn movies, or at least popcorn adjacent, because he takes that advice to, you know, to heart. He creates his story, but he presents it in a way that the masses really enjoy.
Now, I think that whole idea, figure out what is interesting to you, present it in a way that will be interesting to the audience. That's the gig, baby.
Yeah.
That's like literally the job.
It's very basic.
Yeah. It's cool.
It's not wrong. It's just
because, you know, I guess you could present it in a way that's interesting to you, but then you end up with something like the sizzle reel and it, you know, 20 listeners.
We don't do this for the audience.
On to number three. Number three, add multiple layers. To go a little further, it says like your stories aren't just the plot that we see on the surface, but the themes below the surface, and kind of, you know, impart wisdom through other layers in your writing.
Okay.
So, but add multiple layers is what he's trying to say.
I mean, I see it as like he takes it very literally with something like Inception. The whole point is like a dream within a dream within a dream. There are your layers right there.
True.
Is Interstellar the movie where when they land on a planet, it takes like 8 years out of their lives?
Probably some shit like that. I mean, that makes sense. I haven't seen it. I've heard that people have told me I should watch it, and I haven't.
It's a good one. It's better than the Sandra Bullock one. What was that called? Gravity.
Yeah, I thought Gravity sucked.
Yeah, it was not. I was very disappointed by that. But I mean, I don't think that's absolutely necessary. I think obviously if your characters and the plot have layers, it's going to be more interesting and you have more chances for like fun reveals or like, you know, kind of twists. And same thing with Memento. Like that whole movie is kind of, it's told out of order in a way that adds those layers, right?
Yeah.
Because you get these little pieces of information one bit at a time, and you know, it's kind of on the viewer to kind of start to understand the way that they're actually stacked up.
Right.
And of course there is a reveal eventually.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think I've heard enough to make my decision on this round. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
I know how the format works.
You got to add multiple layers. I agree with
that. Okay. Yeah, it's like a cake.
I personally agree with it. You know, the people upstairs really are making so much noise today. It's crazy. And they waited right until we hit record.
100%.
That's when it started. Number four. So, you know, you were saying that he was taking stuff literally, but number four really is a very, like, it kind of digs right to the point of this guy's type of movies.
Yeah.
He says, approach structure mathematically with diagrams.
To be fair to him, the way that he tells his stories, he has to do that, I think. Otherwise, it's going to be a jumbled mess and it's not going to make sense to the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to be very, like, almost surgical with the way that you tell stories when you do it out of order.
A complicated way.
Exactly. Like, and I mean, that's, once again, that's kind of how he tells his movies. Like they start off kind of complicated and they start to make more sense the further you go in. And part of that is probably because he is methodical about the way he tells it, and he makes sure that it makes sense on paper before it ever goes to production.
I'd love to see some of those diagrams. They probably exist online. He probably shares them, right?
He must, right?
Because that would be kind of cool to just see, like, how he draws the diagrams. Because I've thought about that. Like, I guess we all draw diagrams. It's just that, like, the mathematically part is what throws me. Because, look, even a flowchart's a diagram. Like, if you write something and draw an arrow to something, it's
fucking diagram. You drew a diagram on a post-it note and to describe the documentary.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, you had these chunks and then these empty areas.
Yes.
And then you drew around them. And then it started looking like... Poops and Dicks.
Poops and Dicks. Yeah. That's the show.
That's the show.
I also drew well, I didn't, but Amy drew a flowchart that the boys are referencing out there while they're watching the show.
Oh, really?
Or watching the doc.
Did not know that.
Yeah. All right. I think I heard what I needed on that one. Number five.
Poops and Dicks.
Start by yourself as soon as you can. Grow your projects and never stop.
Start by yourself as soon as you can.
To me, this is my favorite. This is like actually the key to making art, period. Like, just start making start doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like. It's like, you know, Nike, just do it. That you're never gonna...
But it's also like okay, I speak as a procrastinator.
Yeah.
I will complain about starting something for 3 fucking hours, and then I'll start it and I'll be done in an hour, and I'll be like, oh, that wasn't so bad.
That's like, I do the same thing anytime I get a new project, and especially if it's, you know, like a complex style show where it's, you know, you have 3 hours of footage to go through to put together a 15 to 20 minute episode. I kind of procrastinate on that a lot because it just feels so big and overwhelming when you start. But you just have to start doing it, and then, you know, just use your process and go through it bit by bit. And then, you know, after a couple of days, it's like, oh, this makes sense now. I have a story, and it really wasn't that difficult.
I will say, for all the clients listening, that is a necessary 3 hours where I'm getting geared up to do the project.
Yeah.
I mean, if I just jump in, it's not going to be very good. That's why my work is good. It's because I procrastinate. So when I charge for 3 days, I need 2 days to fucking get going.
Yeah.
First,
to get in the zone.
Yeah. To get ready to open the Premiere project. I've been double clicking all over my screen in the wrong places. That's what's happening.
Well, and even when I start, I'll do...
Laura, don't put that in the video, please.
Even when I start, it'll be like the very most basic things. Like, I'll just watch through the string out. Like, I'm not making any cuts yet. I just want to watch everything and see what there is.
Right.
You know, like, I don't want to start doing the hard work immediately. I kind of have to ease into it. Which,
yeah, isn't, that's interesting, because I just start cutting right away.
Yeah,
usually I'll sync everything, and I'll probably scrub through the B-roll real quick, and like, I don't even take, like, I know what you, I think you take all the B-roll, put it in a sequence, and go through it there.
Yeah,
I like just,
and
go,
I pull my selects, and
I just go shot by shot, and I find like the part that's good, and I just drag all of my selects in. So the only B-roll that ever touches my timeline is like usable stuff.
I gotcha.
So I don't even let the non-usable shit in there.
Fair enough. But, I mean, and I will, you know, when I'm going through the string outs, if there's shit that I obviously don't need, then I'll kill that. But for the most part, I just want to see what I have. You know, can't put the puzzle together before you see all the pieces.
You definitely do it in a much more, like, technically correct way. I'm like, I think we've talked about it before, where I edit from, like, I edit from the hip. I edit from the heart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I edit based on vibes.
I'm a vibe editor. Yeah. I edit with passion.
Yes.
And you edit with, like, you're like a Chris Nolan type editor.
I guess so.
This is why Chris versus Chris. Yeah. You edit mathematically. All right. How do you think you're doing so far? Don't look, but how do you think you're doing after 5 rounds? Are you feeling confident right now?
No, I never feel confident in these.
Fair enough. I think you're doing pretty good.
Thank you.
Number six, make a film. Dude, these people upstairs are going absolutely ape right now. Of course it stops as soon as I fucking move. Dude, I might have to text them. Should I text them? Hey, fuck, I would tell Will. I want to yell to Will to go up there and figure out what the fuck's going on. But maybe I'll do it.
All right.
But you vamp, because we're not cutting any of this shit out.
We're not cutting any of this out. Okay, I don't even remember what the
We're asking how you were doing. How do you think you're doing?
How am I doing? Well, here's the thing. I've agreed with everything. So that, I think that weighs it heavily in his favor right now, because it's not like I'm giving any adversarial takes that to prove him wrong. I'm just saying, yeah, he's right. So when I keep saying that, yeah, he's right, of course he's going to get the points. Why wouldn't he?
All right. I mean, fair enough. I guess you just don't know how this thing scored.
Well, I never know how this thing scored. It's always a surprise. It's like a Christopher Nolan reveal at the end.
It's pretty cool. This one's going to be good. Okay. Number six, make a film you would want to see yourself, which kind of sounds lot like number one.
That's the same fucking.
Or number two.
Yeah, that's the same fucking advice.
Interesting.
Come on, Christopher Nolan, give me something to argue with. Like, yeah, make a film that you would like to see yourself. Yes. I mean, every single thing I edit, I want to make it in the way that is closest to how I would enjoy it. Like, that doesn't always make sense. A lot of things that we edit, they're just not for me. You know, right. Like, if going back to like ServiceNow, I was editing like basically.
Yeah, but he's talking about like making a film that you want to see yourself. Like, think a bit more like the NHL shit you do. That's probably something that's more like something you would do for fun if you could.
Absolutely.
You make those like you want to see them. To an extent.
100%.
Right?
Yeah. I that's exactly how I do it. Like, I'll include almost every replay they give me, not because they ask me to, but because
you think they're good or they're cool.
Yeah. It's like, I want, if we're doing a top 10, I want to see all the angles of this awesome goal or awesome save. What are we doing this for otherwise?
Yeah.
It's just like, well, I mean, why would you even make a movie that you don't want to make? That
it's true.
It doesn't even make sense. Like, from an artist perspective, isn't everything you do something that you want to do or would enjoy?
I think I've said this before. I don't know if I said it before on this show, if I said it around the sound, but I've said it where I had a friend one time who I make music, right, on the side.
Yes.
And she was like, hey, your music is, it's like, it's okay, but I think it would, why don't you make something that like others would want to hear? Like, why don't you make something that's more like electronic or something that is like this or that? And I was just like, cause who's going to what guarantees that anyone else is even going to hear it? Like, I'd rather make something that I enjoyed the weeks I worked on it.
Yeah.
That, and I like loved the process and had a really good time, than be like, well, fuck, oh, I'm beating myself over the head trying to figure out what people might want. And then it gets released and like, I'm like, cool, it's got like 10 plays. Like, why did I do this? Like, I'd rather make something I want, so I know the whole time I've made it, I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. It's just, I don't, unless your only motivation is money, which, you know, that's valid. But at that point, you're not really making art, are you? Like, you're just I don't know what you would call it, but it's just, You're
pandering. 100%. That's what I would fucking call it.
It's like, is it really coming from your heart and your artistic brain if you're just doing like the standard thing that you know people are gonna like?
Yeah, it almost is like well, maybe not. I was gonna say it's almost like those family, like the South Park bit about the Family Guy jokes with Pixar.
Oh yeah,
things. But it's like how Netflix makes their movies.
It's
where they go, oh, what's performing? Let's use metrics, whatever.
That's 100% what they do.
It's pandering. And I'm not talking about a Swarovski engagement ring on a white and black bear. A panda ring.
Okay.
I'm talking about fucking appealing to people who you don't agree with, whatever. Number seven, learn a little bit of all aspects of filmmaking.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was my whole...
By the way, that was Will that just... Will's going up there to go tell him to shut the fuck up. Did you tell him? He told him. Cool. Learn a little bit of all aspects of filmmaking.
I mean, this was my thought when I kind of first decided that this was the route I was going to go in my life. It was learn all the different things that you can do in film. One, it was to find my specialty, what I would end up doing. Cause I didn't really know, you know, it's like there's so many different jobs within that, this industry. And especially like on a movie set, there's, it's just overwhelming. Like, watch the credits and see how many different things you can do.
How often do you do that?
Watch the credits? Yeah. Not that often.
I do it every single movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't.
Back in the day, that's how I would, try to get contacts. I would watch the credits of stuff that I liked.
Okay.
And I would pause it and be like, okay, who was the editor on this? Who was the P, like, because even then I would like look at PAs because I was just trying to break in. So I'd be like, let me just try to connect to these people, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's super, it's super important. Not even like for that, just an understanding your role in the process. Like I was a shooter in the past. Yeah. So I know, like, I know when the footage is good and bad and like what needs to be done to improve the shoots in the future. I do some graphics because you have to be able to do some graphics. So that, you know, that way I understand the plight of the motion graphics artists. I've even, you know, learned how to do some coloring, just like I would never do it professionally, but like just understanding everyone else's workflow is going to help you set things up best for them, and it's just going to improve the product overall.
What sucks about it is that like it's really useful as like a learning tool, and it creates better directors and better, just better like filmmakers overall.
Mm-hmm.
But it sucks because, just as always, capitalism is out here fucking everything up, because then it starts to be like, oh, why don't you do both jobs? Oh, why don't you do all three jobs? Why don't you do all four jobs? And suddenly it's someone doing everything all poorly, and companies are like, this is what we want. And it's like, dude, you could make something so much better if like you actually let people specialize.
Yeah. Well, and I've had those jobs in the past where, you know, you're a one man band and you have to make it all work. And yeah, the product, it's always going to suffer. And it even looks like, I mean, he followed his own advice. His first feature film that he directed, he was also the editor and cinematographer on.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen it. It's a movie called Following. It came out in 1998.
See, that makes me kind of want to see it, though.
Yeah, no, it sounds cool. It's a neo-noir crime thriller film, written, produced, edited, and directed by him.
Maybe I'll watch it. Man, when is the day that Sizzle Reel is going to turn into a movie podcast? That's going to suck.
I hope not. I
hope not either.
I don't watch enough movies, to be honest.
That's what we should do on our
hey, look, it does solid on Rotten Tomatoes, 81%. Wow.
Tomometer. The fucking thermometer. All right. So you agreed with it, basically.
Yeah, number eight.
Moving on. Write about what inspires you. Oh, hello.
What's
welcome
up?
What numbers are? I don't know. Will is asking what number their room is. But Will, just follow the noise, I guess. Yeah. Number eight. Write about what inspires you. It's more of the same, isn't
it? These are all starting to blend together. I mean, if you're writing a story or telling a story that you think is interesting, then it's probably something you're inspired to tell that story. Like, I don't know. I think that he's running out of steam here. Like, he's kind of giving the same advice over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. If you're inspired by something, then it's going to be a better product. Like when I work on hockey stuff, I'm always going to care about it more than when I'm doing like a tech video or, you know, a lifestyle video, things that I'm not passionate about. Yes, I'm not going to give them the same amount of care. I'm still going to make sure that they're good, but you can't manufacture that passion. Exactly.
Can't manufacture passion.
It's true. I mean, you can take it as seriously as possible, but it doesn't mean you're going to care about it or love it. You know, at a certain point, sometimes it's just a job and that's okay.
Okay. Here's number nine. I think because he keeps saying the same thing over and over again, I'm kind of getting into flow of grading these.
Okay.
Number nine, have a new project ready for when you are asked what you want to do next.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think it's okay to have it in your head, but when you're currently working on a project, that should take up all your focus. Like,
it's an interesting perspective.
It's like you're already looking past the present into the future, and you're not going to take the same care if your mind is already wandering. I don't think it's a bad thing to have an idea of what you want to do next, but you don't need to have like an entire presentation ready.
Yeah, but you should still kind of know what you want to do, like in terms of
maybe after, you know, directing a 3-hour movie, maybe you want to take a few months off and reset yourself and then kind of your brain.
But I don't think he's saying to jump into it immediately. I think he's saying, like, if someone comes to you with like a blank check and is like, hey, I loved what you did so much, like, you have any other projects that you'd like to work on or anything that is like inspiring to you? You can be like, actually, I've always wanted to do this, but I'm not going to be ready to do it for like another 2 years. But yes, I'd like to, if you want to start development on it or whatever. Because like if someone came to me and said, hey, I like the Tree Fort doc so much, I have something. Do you have anything else you want to do? I know exactly what I would say. Like, yeah. I want to make that soccer one. Yeah.
Fair
like
enough.
The one about lower league soccer in England.
I don't think it's that important to have the next thing up, you know, ready to go all the time. I think it's probably slightly beneficial, but it also doesn't really fucking matter.
Right.
Whenever you know what you want to do, you know it. It doesn't matter when you know.
Yeah. I will say he's also probably coming from a pretty different perspective. Yeah, Not a lot of people have people coming up to them asking what's next.
Yeah,
or what
I'm
do you
sure,
want
sure
what do you want to do? You know, no one, we don't have the luxury of being able to do what we want to do. We got to pay rent.
Exactly. And then, you know, sometimes it's, you know, you might not know what you want to do, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to make something good in the future. Like sometimes it just has to come to you.
All right. Number 10, take your favorite genre, bring new elements to it and flip it on its head. So I'm assuming he's saying like, you know, if you want to make a horror movie, if you like horror movies and you like, I don't know, like westerns, make a horror western or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I think that's perfectly valid. I mean, that's kind of what creativity is, right? Is mixing and matching and borrowing things from other places and incorporating it where it wouldn't typically be. I used to read books about, it's a book called Cracking Creativity. And that's kind of, it's kind of the point is like, you're just taking and subverting. And that's what makes it creative and interesting. You know, like anytime you look at something, you have to look at it in like 6 or 7 different ways and see the different possibilities with it.
Yeah.
You can't just take it at face value. You have to see not what it is, but what it could be.
Yeah. It's, I guess that makes sense. That's kind of like a good approach is to, I look at it through music again. Like to me, it's like, you know, trying to work with elements you haven't worked with or trying to come up with a concept of a song and then like, you know, reinterpreting it in a number of ways.
Yeah.
There's this this person on TikTok who does a thing called like, I personally find, whatever, I don't need to get into how I feel about it, but he does a thing called roll for song and very talented. Like he basically rolls dice.
I know the roll for concept.
Yeah, so depending
on. It's usually a sandwich.
Yeah, roll for sandwich. But roll for song, depending on what it lands on, right? Yeah. It determines what song he's going to do and what instruments he's going to use throughout the whole thing. And then using those guidelines, right, he creates something. And so that's an interesting like approach that uses like math and randomness and applies it to creativity.
Yeah.
I think those are all really useful ways to practice. I don't think that they're good ways to create your final product because the chances of it working are like so slim. Like it'll be, oh, okay, that's cute and clever.
Well, I mean,
but like it's a great way to practice.
That's part of what creativity is, though, is trying things and you don't know if they're going to work or not. But, you know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But you can't know until you try those new ideas. And, you know, like I look at someone like Elton John, who in the last couple of years has, I guess, collaborated with new people.
Like Dua Lipa and shit, right?
Yeah, Dua Lipa and was it Britney Spears? And you know, like he took his old songs and reinterpreted them with a new artist. And it, you know, it's not like groundbreaking, but it's new and those songs are great. Mm-hmm. And they borrow from his own songs in the past. Like it's kind of combining the old with the new.
Yeah.
And it's a different genre at this point. You know, it goes from being piano driven music from the 70s
to more like
to like a pop,
almost like more synthetic synthesized stuff.
Yeah,
he's not playing
yeah.
like an acoustic piano
yeah
anymore,
more dancey like and poppy, like And it still works.
You know what? I mean, he keeps on keeping on. He's Elton John. He's just following that yellow brick road. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
He's a rocket man. He's rocketing up to the charts, up the charts. He's doing his thing, you know? He's
lighting the charts on fire with a candle in the wind.
He is. He is
he's crocodile rocking it.
He's crocodile rocking all the way to the top.
Yeah.
It might be Saturday night and it's all right for fighting the other pop stars at the top of the charts.
That's good.
He's Daniel.
Daniel.
Daniel. That's my last.
He's making Daniel your song.
That's right. Wow. Well, yeah. All right. Any last things you want to tell the judges before we get into scoring?
No, I just want to say that I respect Christopher Nolan. I think that about five of his tips were very good, and one of them I disagreed with, and three of them I think were the same as the others. So,
okay, well, yeah. Here we go. Kicking it off. First round, do something you believe in rather than what other people want. You said if you're a YouTuber, you should do what others want. So I marked that one a tie. I thought that made sense. Number two, figure out what is interesting to you and present it in a way that will be interesting to the audience. And you said, that's what I just said. So I gave that one to Chris Nolan because I was like, you're not really adding value here. Number three.
He wasn't adding value either.
Add multiple layers. And you said, well, you know what? He takes it very literally. And I thought that was funny that you were coming for Chris Nolan. So I gave that round to you. I liked that.
I wasn't even coming for him.
Number four. He says approach structure mathematically with diagrams. And then you said he has to do it or it'll be a jumbled mess. And I was like, damn, all right. I like how you're really sticking it to him. So I gave that round to you.
I'm not sticking it to him.
Number five, start by yourself as soon as you can. Grow your projects and never stop. I gave that one to Chris Nolan because you didn't jump in early enough. I had to give my own thoughts on that.
That's fair.
So it took you maybe 45 seconds to start talking on that.
That's because you're always talking.
That's the show. Number six, make a film you would want to see yourself. I wrote it that I gave it to Chris Nolan because this is the same as the other tips that he's given. And I like that he's consistent.
Okay.
Number seven, learn a little bit of all aspects of filmmaking. I gave that one to you with no notes because I respect you.
Thank you.
Number eight, write about what inspires you. You said these are all starting to blend together. And I was like, damn, you're right. What am I in a Chris Nolan movie? I'm reliving the same tip over and over again. So I gave it to you. Number nine, have a new project ready when you're asked what you want to do next. You said to stay focused on the present, the here and now. And I think that's very, very nearsighted, very one-dimensional answer. Okay. So I gave it to Chris Nolan.
Sure.
So that brings us to round 10. If you're keeping score at home, we had a tie and then Chris Nolan won 4 and you won 4. So okay. You guys are tied.
All right.
So number 10,
that's how it always goes.
Take your favorite genre, bring new elements to it and flip it on its head. You said,
I know what I said.
It's perfectly valid. That's what creativity is. And I was like, damn, Chris might win this. And then you mentioned that you read a book called Crack and Creativity.
Cracking.
Crack and creativity.
Cracking. ING.
Cracking. Oh shit. Well, the scores are already in, so Chris Nolan wins that round, unfortunately. I thought you were talking about crack, so I was like, we cannot promote that on the Sizzle Reel podcast. Chris Nolan is the winner of this Chris versus.
All right, kudos, Chris.
But Chris Eastman, thank you for stepping up to
the
plate.
He goes by Christopher. It's always Christopher, right?
Not with me. Me and him are tight. Me and Chris Nolan.
I always had to go by Christopher in grade school because my last name starts with E, and there was always another kid in the class named Chris, so I was always Chris E. So like I just went by Christopher.
Christopher's one of those names that it's unfortunate because it's 11 characters, I think. So
yeah, it gets
the limit used to be, now it's probably more, but back in the day it was 10.
Yeah.
So you'd always be Christoph.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be Christophe.
Christophe, which is like a French name. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Any last things you want to say before we get into what we learned last week?
I want to say that I never saw Tenet and I never will because I heard it sucked.
Mama say, mamako sa. What we learned last week. What we learned
last week. So last week.
Why don't you kick us off?
Thanks. God damn it. I still haven't learned anything.
That's not good for this segment.
This week I learned some weird things about the body, and one of them is if your intestines have a memory of like how they're supposed to be shaped. So if you have some sort of surgery and your organs are getting moved around, sometimes a surgeon will just put your intestines back in a clump, right? Just like however, and they will figure themselves out.
That's nuts. You'd think that they would at least give them a good starting point.
I mean, maybe they toss them in a clump. I mean, I'm sure they don't.
It's like laundry. They're just
I don't think they're tying them up together and then tossing them in.
Is that how you tie your socks up?
Huh? No, I was talking about intestines.
Oh, they're starting laundry. No, I don't tie my socks up before you throw them in the laundry.
No, that's absurd.
The intestines are just socks to me.
Socks.
Poop socks. What the fuck? This podcast sucks.
It's shit.
I wrote services I don't offer because there is a person on Twitter. Don't really know her name, but her display name is Alt Miss Frizzle, which I think is fucking hilarious.
Okay.
She is a designer. God damn, I really should look her up. Julia, I think is her name, but I don't know her Twitter handle. What does it say?
Julia EF
_. So she is a designer. She does a lot of really, really colorful, cool things. I like it. She has a certain style. You know what I mean? It's not for everybody, but I really like it because it's very, very bright and brash.
Kind of like a pop art.
On her website, she has a section that's the about section. It has not only the services she offers, but it also says services I don't offer. Like
interesting.
Click on info up there. And I thought that was so smart because it's like she gets a lot of people who ask her to do stuff. And she's like, look, I don't do illustration. I don't do branding. I don't do motion graphics or video or websites.
It seems like
do not hit me up about this shit.
All the things she doesn't offer are things that we can offer, except for maybe the website building.
Yeah. Hey, maybe we should partner with
her. Little collab.
Alt Miss Frizzle. What's up? Hit us up. All right. I think that's it for the show, right?
I guess
we can say where the people can find us.
Oh, we are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleReelGang at gmail.com. We don't have a cold line right now, but that's okay.
The cold line is on hold line.
And follow Shishkin Productions on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah.
There's some interesting things happening with the business that maybe we'll be able to reveal sooner than later. We'll see.
Yeah. But we might keep them under wraps too.
Who knows?
We might make it like a mummy and keep them under wraps.
Ooh.
Might make like a carne asada inside a burrito and keep it under wraps.
Okay.
We might be like rock songs in the charts these days and keep them under wraps.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Goodbye.
See ya.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.